Hello, welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the transatlantic voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Indeed, transatlantic this week.
You have been much travelled, well rested, I suppose we could say.
We both have, haven't we? We've had a nice little break in the US of A.
The US of A. A break, not so much, more of a scouting mission, I'd say. We were out there enjoying ourselves, but also looking at goalkeepers, seeing what there was in the world of goalkeeping in the USA. At one point, my friend, we had about 36 goalkeepers watching them all, but we plumped on one, and we hoped that one would bring us the reward, bring us the jackpot. So hopefully we'll see what happens with that.
Fingers crossed. I see what you did there. Very clever.
This is, of course, Between the Sticks, and quite a weekend for English goalkeepers. Jordan Pickford, Dean Henderson, Jack Butland, of course, to an extent, Angus Gunn, you could kind of say as well, in the game against Spurs. But we're going to start with Jordan Pickford. He is the number one at the moment. There has been a lot of chat about whether the pretenders to the throne, Tom Heaton, Nick Pope, Dean Henderson being one of those, Jack Butland, of course, as well. But he led in a free kick to Riyad Mahrez, and it gained quite a lot of attraction on social media. And with the usual comments from the punditry teams, the commentary teams, I'm going to get onto them later. But first, your reaction to the free kick.
It was an error. I think if you were to go on the basic rule of thumb, which is when you set up your wall for a free kick, you say to the player, if you could put it up, down, over the wall with pace into the top corner, then you hold your hands up and say it's a great free kick. I think anything that goes to goalkeeper's side, there might be the odd exception every now and then, the odd bit of brilliance where they whip it up, down, and it dips in from such a height that perhaps you can't get there. But I certainly think with this free kick in particular, there was a couple of things wrong with it. One being that when you set your wall up, so ordinarily I always advise don't go more than four in a wall. If you're to go for a fifth, that fifth man becomes a charger. And then sometimes you might set a man outside to cover the far post, which is what they did. But that man was set slightly too far inside. So the free kick went round that man into the far corner. And at that point, I'm sure that Jordan Pickford would have been disappointed that he wasn't able to get across and get a hand to it. There was some punditry that I heard where they suggested that it went under his arm. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that he has maybe taken up a position slightly too central, ever so slightly, and maybe didn't react quite as quickly as he might have liked.
Okay, well, the punditry was slightly different to what you're saying. I'm going to read out some of the best bits now. First one, Gary Neville, of course, was commentating on the game. He says, you know, goalkeeper's got to save it. It's not the best strike in the world. Really poor from Jordan Pickford. England's number one goalkeeper has to save that. It's on his side. It seems to go under his hand, which is what you said there. On his side seemed to be the theme running through, because Victor Anichibi was on the punditry team with Andy Hinchcliffe as well. He said, same side of him. I know Jordan, but we know he should save that. And Andy Hinchcliffe himself said, Jordan Pickford should save this. Now, he went into depth more about it. He said, first, he sees it is when it comes past Fabian Delph, like you mentioned. If you look at the distance between his right hand and the post, that's his side of the goal. It's not going past his fingertips, it's going under his forearm, like you said, his hand. He just completely mistimes it. He's got enough time to see the ball and he's in a position to save it. He'll be really disappointed. He then went on to say, the weight is on his left foot. You see a lot of goalkeepers actually step behind their wall, which I didn't 100% understand, which gives the free kick taker more to aim at. He doesn't do that. He's been brave. He stood his ground. He's hoped the wall does the job, but he's meant to save it if the ball comes to his side of the goal. He simply doesn't save it.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think Andy Hinchcliffe isn't a million miles away with his punditry there. And what he means by stepping behind the wall, how many times do we see where a goalkeeper guesses and almost as it's being struck, reads the fact that it's going to go over the wall and gets caught out? A famous one would have been Peter Schmeichel against Bayern Munich, the final in 99.
That's an Basler.
Of course, and if you remember that one, he takes ever so slightly, goes to his right and ends up getting beaten very easily on his left. Now that is a worse mistake because you've tried to read it rather than staying still. Now Pickford almost gets it right because he does stay still. Yeah, weight might be ever so slightly on the left-hand side, which might be a slight error. He just doesn't look like he quite reacts quickly enough. And of course, it was raining. It was wet. It's going to zip off the surface. I disagree with Gary Neville that it wasn't a good strike. I think it was perfectly struck for what he was trying to do. But I do think that Jordan Pickford saves it. Funnily enough, Leno had a very similar one, which he did save, slightly higher, but it was goalkeeper's side. He held firm, held his position. And the mindset for me should be for a goalkeeper is that you expect to save the ball that side. So if anything, your weight would slightly be on the other side, arguably, and you say, right, if you put it my side, I'm saving it, and it goes back to that. If you can get it up, down, over the wall in the top corner, yes, free kick takers have got better and they will continue to get better, but the rule still applies. They're still not at the point where they've perfected it. It still takes some skill to get it up, down, over the wall with pace into the corner. So I, as a goalkeeper, would much rather say to him, you need to do that to score. You will not score my side. And I think had Jordan Pickford had that mentality, I think he gets fingertips for that and puts it around the post.
Yep, a great save, by the way, that Bertrand Leno save on that Marcus Rashford free kick. Certainly no Poppadom hands there from Bertrand Leno. We'll move quickly on. I just want to finish on Jordan Pickford very quickly, and I might be reading too much into this, but I felt like something wasn't quite right with him in the game with Manchester City. And in the build-up to that free kick, he was lining up his wall, but not so much with the authority that Jordan Pickford normally does. And I know that, and someone called me out on Twitter for mentioning this, but I know that he has that stance where he kind of stands with his palms faced upwards before a strike comes in. And he kind of did that, but it was all a bit token. And he wasn't there rigid. He sort of flapped his hands out, almost as if to suggest for me that he wasn't quite happy with his wall. That's the way that I saw it. I don't know whether he was doing his usual stance, but he didn't seem quite right. And then that feeds in to what happened in the dying moments of the match, where a long ball came over from the right. He came out of his goal and took a terrible touch. The ball bounced. Bernardo Silva robbed him of the ball and they nearly scored. He then had a bit of a chuckle and responded in the way that we know Jordan Pickford likes to respond. He kind of shrugs his shoulders, a bit like we used to see with David James. You'd see him sort of smiling after something happened. Jordan Pickford expects better from himself. Gary Neville, again, responded in the way that he probably should in this case and said, why is he laughing? I don't know why he finds it funny. It's not funny.
So there is then the question mark as to whether it's a bit personal between Gary Neville and Pickford, because, of course, in the World Cup, he dug him out in the Belgium game in particular, and you kind of felt like there was a little bit more to it. I certainly read into that. With this, now, why would he smile? This actually then does turn into a bit of a psychological one. We got taught to do that. If you make an error, there's no point living in that error. There's no point getting yourself down and beating yourself up. As much as you feel that perhaps that's what the fans want to see, that's what perhaps a Gary Neville wants to see, wants to see you really angry with yourself. Is that going to make you feel any better in the moment? He's still got some time left in the game where he's got to get himself back into a decent state. So actually, one of the bits of advice we used to get given from a psychologist was snap out of that state instantly. One of the ways in which you can do that is to smile. Sounds ridiculous, but you think about it. How often when you're laughing, are you sad? You can't do both at the same time. It doesn't exist. So my guess is that's one of the strategies that Jordan Pickford has to get himself out of a negative moment and get himself back into a good state of mind. That would be my guess. Do I think that he's complacent and he actually finds it funny? No, he wouldn't have got to this level if he didn't care about his game or he thought that matters like that don't matter. He knows they matter. But for me, that was just a simple case of him getting himself back into a good state of mind.
That's a very good point, Richard.
Thank you.
Well done.
I have one or two every now and then.
Just quickly going from a negative to a positive, we did have a tweet in from James Giobi. Apologies if I've not pronounced that right, James. James Giobi, who did say, can we just talk about Edison's side volley in the 90th minute? It was utterly incredible. It was a great side volley right on to Riyad Mahrez's foot, actually. And it's even better because Luka Dina was trying to get the ball and he was so outstretched, but it was so pinpoint from Edison. Quite remarkable. That man is quite the goalkeeper, quite the distributor, we should say. Moving on now to Dean Henderson, a man who started this season relatively well after an emphatic season last season for Sheffield United, on loan there from Manchester United. Of course, I'm not going to go into what the commentary team said about this one because I don't really think that you can analyse it in that way. However, the game against Liverpool, a huge, huge blunder, a huge error. We're not going to call it a howler because we don't like using that word, but Gino Wijnaldum with the volley. Dean Henderson let it slip through his legs. Liverpool win the game. That could prove to be quite costly.
It could for several teams, of course. Look, it's moments like that, and no doubt he'll look back on it. He'll be kicking himself, and no doubt they'll work on that in training. Look, it happens. There's a few bits you can touch on in regards to the technique. Something that I will touch on, and this is, it's going to sound like an excuse, and it is an excuse to an extent, but for me, it's no coincidence we saw a lot of errors this weekend. Now, why do I say that? Because the weather was horrendous this weekend, and it's an obvious point, but playing in goal in the bright sunshine where you've got a lovely pitch, no wind, but there's a little bit of dew on the pitch and the ball skipping through nicely is a heck of a lot easier than playing when it's windy, raining. What is it? We had a month's worth of rainfall in a day, I believe, over the weekend. So, look, it's going to be a bit more difficult playing in those conditions.
I don't think it was that bad in Sheffield, was it?
It zipped off the turf. As the ball was struck, it's moved slightly. It zipped off the turf. Look, of course, I'm not going to make excuses for him. He wouldn't make excuses for it. Technically, it wasn't quite right. You know, I know they tried to compare it with the Taibbi error. I've seen that on Sky Sports News. But look, it's completely different. It's a lot more difficult than the Taibbi one that we saw from Matthew Letizia all those years ago. However, it was poor. He's gone down. His scoop technique wasn't quite as solid as it should have been. Slight gap. And of course, as is always the way, if there is a slight gap, it will find that gap. And it's a horrible, horrible moment when it does go through. The crazy thing is, it's the kind of one that for all these years, he might have done it once in training, if that. But it always seems to be the way that it will come out in a game, in a pressure moment like that. The big thing for me, and what I was pleased with, was the fact that he then makes a really big save soon after. Now, that won't make up for the error, because they have obviously still lost the game, and I'm sure he's still concerned about that error. But the fact is that he did bounce back quickly, whereas when I'm looking at the bigger picture for someone like Dean Henderson, who I think will go on and play for England and have a big career for England, he's showing that he has got the mental resilience to bounce back very quickly. I can't imagine we'll see a hangover from this going into the next game. But yeah, look, there's not a lot you can say. It was a very poor error. Hasn't quite got his footwork right. This technique wasn't solid enough. There were holes in the technique. And it's something that no doubt he'll be working on in training.
Yeah, and the bouncing back was key. A great save from Mo Salah, of course. Steve McManaman did sort of lay the blame more on Mo Salah than he did credit Jordan Pickford, as you'd expect. But the comments from Chris Wilder after the game I found quite interesting, because he was very blunt about Dean Henderson in amongst everything he said. And he's actually come out since as well in press conferences to talk about it. And he basically said he has the raw qualities. As you have seen here, he makes big saves, but he has to learn from the experience and he has to grow. And he did mention as well, he said after the game when he was more heated, he said, you know, he wants to play for England. He wants to play for Manchester United. I'm not going to put my arm around him. He needs to sort this out.
Yeah, which, look, I don't mind. And I'm sure that Dean Henderson won't either. Like, this is, I think we're losing this to an extent with management now. Chris Wilder is very much straight talking. You know, he is, in some ways, your old school manager, but not in a bad sense. Old school in that he'll say it as it is. Now, I go back to experiences I had, and a good example would have been Uwe Rosler. Me and Uwe had all sorts of face-to-face rows. After a game, we're both passionate, we're both heated, we want to win the game. So we would literally, once in particular, stood face-to-face in the dressing room shouting at each other.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could have seen
that. You'd have loved it. And there's me trying to be all intelligent in that moment. It didn't quite work. But I don't mind that, because do you know what? I'd rather you tell me to your face what you think of me rather than I hear it from a third party or I hear it in an interview that you haven't actually said to me, which, by the way, happens. And it drives a player crazy when you feel like you're not getting that raw honesty from your manager. So, look, Dean Henderson is. He's a big boy. Like, he's going to go on and play at the very, very top. This isn't going to bother him. Like, yes, he'll be upset. He obviously takes pride in his performance. He'll go home and be frustrated with the fact that it was that goal that cost them the game. And of course, it's not nice hearing your manager say those things, but he would rather that than be mollycoddled, which I see too many managers do now. It's okay if a keeper makes a mistake. You can tell them they've made a mistake. They know they've made a mistake. They will hold their hands up and say, yes, I made a mistake. And you know what? Next week, he'll come out and they'll end up winning the game. He makes the match-winning save. In the same way, the manager will then give him credit. So I don't have any issues with that. Straight after the game, we all understand, and I think anybody playing understands, that there are emotions involved. And it is a bit of advice for all goalkeepers that are listening in right now. Don't take it seriously. Don't take it personally. It's a game. In the same way that you'll be frustrated with a striker that misses an open goal in the last minute, it's all right to be annoyed with him. It's okay. In the same way that they might be a bit frustrated with you. One of the worst things you can do is take it personally, because then it will impact you, not just in your football, but in everyday life.
Agree wholeheartedly. Snowflakes, I think, is what people saying. Peter Crouch, actually, on the BT coverage of the game, did hammer Dean Henderson and was like, he's absolutely had one. And Jake Humphrey took exception. He was like, oh, right, just make him feel worse. And Peter Crouch said, well, what do you want me to say? He has made an error, but it is, of course, worth noting that there was a very similar mistake in League One this weekend. Christy Pym of Peterborough United making a very similar error to the one that Dean Henderson made in their game against MK Dons. Peterborough did win that game 3-2, but it's crucial to note, again, because they won, it's perhaps not been talked about, or perhaps it's not been talked about because it is League One. And Dean Henderson, of course, got all the attention. Right, we are now going to switch our attention to Jack Butland. We have mentioned him many times in this podcast before. He's having a very difficult season. They, of course, lost to Nottingham Forest at the Bet365 on Friday. For one of the goals, Butland came out and tried to claim what was a relatively simple cross, I'd say, got into a bit of a tangle with Lewis Graben, and the goal went in. Let's just talk about Jack, Rich.
It's going from bad to worse at the moment for Jack, and I know we keep saying it, and you know, it reminds me to an extent of David James. David James had a period in his career at Liverpool where it just felt like every week something was going wrong. Now, I do believe in the law of averages, in that, and I had a conversation recently, actually, funnily enough, don't mind saying his name, with Simon Eastwood at Oxford. And it was a great example where we're talking, must be 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he's like, Rich, like, I don't feel like I've made a mistake, yet I'm conceding goal after goal. I'm not making saves, and I don't get it. You know, I was like, and I just said to him, look, it's law of averages. This does happen sometimes where things don't necessarily go right. Now, in Simon Eastwood's case, it wasn't necessarily mistakes. It was just the fact that it seemingly was every game, two shots on targets, two goals, you know, and he was going through one of those periods. Now, all of a sudden, since that conversation, he's had 5 clean sheets on the bounce, and he's made some brilliant saves, and Oxford have won 4, including a win against West Ham, 6-0 against Lincoln, 3-0 against Gillingham, and he's been brilliant, you know, and he continued. And I think the biggest thing for me with, and I give Simon Eastwood huge credit, was that he didn't let it impact him. He understood that in goalkeeping, that happens sometimes. And the key thing is, you don't go chasing the game. You don't try and create things to do. You just understand that sometimes you will have games of football where they have 5 shots and they score 5 goals and you have no chance with any of the goals. Now, with Jack, that hasn't been the case. There have been some errors that have, certainly some goals he will have felt that he should have done better with. I just hope that in terms of his mental state at the moment, he understands that it will change, because we have seen the best of Jack Butland. It wasn't that long ago that we all thought he would be the next England number one. And that can still be the case. But he has got a crucial period in his career right now. I mean, as of this moment, he needs to make sure that the rest of the season is a solid season. He can turn things around and Stoke can find their way back up the table. Because I do think there is a Premier League move in him still, despite these first number of games. I do think there is that move there for him still. But he needs to get that mindset whereby I feel that he's chasing it ever so slightly, and the goal against Nottingham Forest is a good example, where he is coming out trying to impact play, he's trying to make a positive decision, but at the moment a lot of things are going against him. It feels like he's making a career's worth of mistakes. You know, he hasn't made many mistakes in his career, but it feels like they're coming in a glut, and when they come in a glut, like what's happened with David De Gea, we notice them. Because David De Gea, if you were to spread those mistakes out over the last 8 years, then you would still consider them to be minimal compared with the amount of great saves he's made. I think the same is true for Jack Butland, but he is going through a period of a glut of mistakes. Hopefully, he's able to turn the corner soon and we can see the best of Jack Butland once again.
You do say he was trying to impact the game against Forest. That particular moment, the goal that was scored where the cross came in and he came out and battled with Lewis Grabban, that, for me, that's not impacting the game. For me, that's just a standard cross that he should potentially be collecting.
Well, no, I think the decision in hindsight, and hindsight's a lovely thing, would have been a punch. You know, when you are going up against a striker and it's a 50-50 ball, again, rule of thumb would be that you look to punch it and you look to get good distance on the punch and ideally into a safe area. Now, where I feel he's trying to impact the game is he is trying to hold it, which would be great goalkeeping. He ends up holding that in that collision, that 50-50, then you say, brilliant, fantastic goalkeeping. You've kept possession for your team. You've not had the risk of punching it, not knowing where it might go. And in the end, obviously, he got challenged and wasn't able to hold it, and they score the rebound. Which, by the way, that might happen to a goalkeeper every single game. Most goalkeepers come out of a game knowing they've made 2 or 3 mistakes. More often than not, you do get away with them. That's the truth. At the moment, I don't think Jack Butland's making hundreds of mistakes per game. I think he is getting punished for the mistakes that he's making. That's my opinion. Which, again, law of averages, I do think it will turn. For him, it's just a case of not getting too down on himself, because it can be a bit of a downward spiral. Because, of course, the more mistakes you make, the worse you might feel about yourself, the more nervous you might be going to game. Goalkeepers that are listening will appreciate this, where you have made 2 or 3 mistakes on the bounce, you might go into that next game a little bit more nervous. Now, the key is that you can get yourself into the best possible mindset, knowing that the law of averages states that if you are a very, very good goalkeeper, you won't consistently make mistakes. At some point, it will turn, and at some point, it will be those match-winning saves once again.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
This is a keeper caper, but I mean, the few that we've just mentioned just then could have all come into this category. But we've decided to plump for Hugo Lloris in Tottenham's game with Southampton. It's important to note, before we mention the caper in particular, that he responded like Dean Henderson and made 2 great saves, 2 match-winning saves. First from a James Ward-Prowse free kick and then a Yoshida header. But first, before that, oh gosh, what's happened?
Well, obviously, ball played back to him and he looks for the pass, decides against it, and as he's challenged, obviously tries to do a bit of a Cruyff turn to then play out the other way, misses the Cruyff turn, and the ball's then bundled over the line. He even had half a chance as getting bundled over the line to maybe scoop it out, but misses with his left hand as well. So it's Look, it's a bad one. Do you know what? Hugo Lloris frustrates me in so many ways. So anyone that has access to the stats, Optostats, StatsBomb, these other ones that are out there, they'll see that Hugo Lloris is consistently in the top three in the Premier League. Last season, he was second in the Premier League behind Alisson, if you were to believe a lot of the stats that you look at. Yet, if you ask a lot of Tottenham fans, they're not sure on him. Now, for me, the reason they're not sure is that when he makes a mistake, it's massive. He doesn't make the smaller mistakes. And actually, like you say, the rest of the game, this sums Hugo Lloris up, by the way. The confidence this guy must have. He has won a World Cup. Obviously made a mistake in that final. But this being a great example at the weekend where he'll make a major error, but then make two, three, four fantastic saves to help win the game. So in terms of mental strength, it's huge. And I do wonder whether they come hand in hand. You know, that confidence, almost overconfidence, is why he'll try a Cruyff turn on his own line, but at the same time is why he makes the three or four saves. That's an argument that you could put to it. Whereas you might have the goalkeeper who's ultra safe, who clears his lines every time, but maybe doesn't have that type of arrogance, if I can use that word, to then make those big saves at those big moments. So look, I still think, and we've had this conversation, me and you, several times. I've certainly had it on the radio show, Love Sport, that we're with, about Hugo Lloris, whether Tottenham should move on. Absolutely not. For me, he's still one of the top goalkeepers in the country, top goalkeepers in the world. And I think you have to understand with Hugo Lloris, for all the brilliance, you are going to have moments like this. And it will largely be because he is so confident in his own ability. Yes, people will question how good his distribution is, how good he is with his feet, how good his touch is. But I think he does have that confidence in himself and he will take chances just because that's his personality.
He is the captain of the side, and he did come out after the game, as you'd expect, and said, you know, I made a big mistake in that one. For me, however, now, with what happened against Croatia in the World Cup final, like you said, and with what happened there against Southampton, he has made a few similar errors in the past. I think he can't afford another one now. I'm not saying in terms of his future, but just in terms of him being a professional. I think Jermaine Genus, I think it was, he said that's borderline unprofessional from Hugo Lloris to try that at that stage of the game. I think if it does happen again, we then have to seriously question him.
Yeah, look, I think one of the key things, again, all goalkeepers listening in, is that you learn from mistakes. Mistakes I don't see as a negative anymore. I did as a kid. I used to do anything I could to avoid making a mistake. My mindset going into a game was if I could get through the game without having made a mistake, I would see that as a positive game, like irrespective of what the scoreline was. And I know there's still a lot of goalkeepers out there that have that very defensive mindset. The problem is with that you don't necessarily fully express yourself. Now, there is a balance somewhere in the middle where you can go into a game wanting to be man of the match, expecting to be man of the match and putting in a great performance. But one of the key things is that when you do make a mistake, it is that you learn from that mistake. And as you mentioned, there are a few now that are similar. And I'm sure that Hugo Lloris will look back on this. Look, again, you have basic rules of thumb. And I think that for this one, when you're on your goal line and you're being pressurised, it's okay just to kick it out for a throw-in. It's okay to even kick it out for a corner. I've seen that once or twice where keepers will literally just get it out of play because in that moment, it is slightly less dangerous than your current predicament. And I think that, again, doing a Cruyff turn on your own goal line, I certainly wouldn't recommend that because I think the risk and reward, the risk is far too great. And the reward being that, what, you might be able to play it out to your right back who will probably be under pressure once you played it to them. So for me, it's just a case of clear your lines if you're in that position. Then you can have your argument with your defender soon after if you want. But it's soon forgotten. That's the point as well. It's soon forgotten when the game's finished and you've ended up beating Southampton 1-0 and you haven't made that error. We then focus more so on the great saves as opposed to that error that he has made. And by the way, that has done him a favour. He was obviously a big part to play that they did win, but the fact that they won, this will be soon forgotten, but from his point of view, and any young goalkeeper listening in, when you do make errors, do consider them, do relive them in your mind, and find a way in which you can improve next time.
Bada boom, bada bing, it's only a keeper keeper.
Rightly and wrongly.
Well, this week's Rightly or Wrongly is actually a bit different, probably more of a keeper caper, but we're focusing on Kamil Grabara, the Huddersfield goalkeeper on loan from Liverpool, just 21 years old. We saw in the opening day of the season, in fact, against Derby, that he did rush out of his goal and made an error in Derby's opening day win at Huddersfield. And he's done something slightly different, but still it's an error against Millwall. Huddersfield obviously searching for that elusive win. We're 1-0 up. And he's made a great save. It's gone off for a corner. The corner's come in. And then I'll leave you to take the floor now, Richard.
Yeah, I've watched this a few times and I can't quite figure out what's happened. And often with the mistake, you've seen the mistake several times before. We've touched on a few today, but I wouldn't say any of them are new mistakes. You know, we talk with Dean Henderson and we've seen that before. We talk of Hugo Lloris. We've seen that before. Whereas this, I haven't seen this type of mistake where the ball's been crossed in it's seemingly he's caught the cross. He's done well to come for the cross. He's caught it. And as he's falling down, he's almost thrown it away from him, but back towards the goal. And So, look, I can only assume that he's panicked. And I've had this before personally where, and I'll describe the moment was Sheffield United away, Bramall Lane. A shot's been struck. It's hit the bar and I could hear it hit the bar. So I've dived, turned around, it's hit the bar, hit the floor, hit the bar, hit the floor. Now, me in my panic, I run back towards the goal, dive full stretch, expecting there to be like a load of people in behind me, and I've tried to swipe the ball clear, only succeeding to swipe it up into the top corner. I turn around, no one within 10 yards of me. So when you see it on the video replay...
So who was this against?
This is against Sheffield United, Bramall Lane. We'll see if we can get the footage, get it up on our Twitter.
100%.
It would have been 03, 04, 04, 05, something like that. But basically, obviously, at the moment, you do panic because you see... I saw the ball and my first thought was, I need to get there as quick as I can. I need to get this away from the goal. And I tried to scoop it out and, like I say, went in the top corner only to realise no one around me. I just wonder whether, as he's falling down, he's thinking, I'm going to drop this. Let me put it out for a corner. Let me just get it away from danger. Maybe lost his bearing slightly. And obviously, as we can see, has ended up just throwing it back towards his goal and giving a simple goal away in the end. But it's a new mistake. And what I mean by that is we see the ball squirm through the legs. We see it squirm under hands. We see Hugo Lloris getting tackled, as we've seen so many others get tackled. This is a new mistake. I haven't seen this one before, but no doubt he'll be frustrated by it. The only explanation I can give is that he panicked.
Yeah, new Huddersfield boss, by the way, Danny Cowley, is suggesting he is going to bounce back and they play Stoke City tonight. So he's in one goal, Jack Butland in the other. Okay, well, that pretty much wraps it up. A few more bits of admin before we go. We've had a tweet in from a gent named Ratko, and he has asked us to analyse the Thomas Vaclik reaction on the free kick. This was for the game Sevilla v Eibar earlier on in the week, actually, and Sevilla went 2-0 up and then lost 3-2. He didn't have the greatest of games, but there was a specific free kick which was the winner for Eibar, similar to Pickford in a sense, where he took a step and then it went in.
Similar-ish. So basically, I'd advise people to actually look this one up. And the reason being, we'll put it on Twitter. Fantastic. It was a good one for educational purposes for a few different reasons. One, he only decides to go with two in the wall. Now, the free kick, to describe it, it's a left-footed free kick on the right-hand side, which he's whipped round the wall, yet it's gone in the corner. So it's not gone the goalkeeper's side. Technically, it's gone behind the wall in the corner, but it didn't have to go over the wall. And the reason, there's a few reasons for this. One is that he's only gone two in the wall. Now, there is an argument to be said that he should have put a third, perhaps. The other thing, and this is a really key point and something that isn't touched on enough, when they set the free kick up, there's only a left-footer on the ball. There's not a right footer. Now, why is that important? Well, basically, the trajectory of the ball, it can only curl one way. He can't run up at that angle as a left footer and curl it the other way, do an outside of the foot. That's physically not possible. So the ball is going to have a very obvious flight, a very obvious curl. Now, looking at how the goalkeeper set it up, his positioning was okay, not great, but it was okay. His reaction was all right. For me, it was more a problem of the setup. The fact that he's only got two in the wall, the fact that he hasn't lined them up according to the fact that there's a left footer on the ball that can only curl it a certain way. So really, they should be slightly over, even further over. And personally, I'd have had three in the wall. I think you do that. I think it hits the wall, for one. I think if he then goes up, down, over the wall, of course, it's going to take some of the pace off the ball. And then if he goes round the wall, it gives the goalkeeper even more time to react and to make the save. So I think the error is more in the setup than opposed to the actual technique of his dive, which, yeah, maybe he could have across ever so slightly quicker, but I think it's more an error in setup, which is so, so important.
Yeah, remember the Twitter is at GK Union. Thank you, Ratko, for suggesting we analyse that one. If there's anything you'd like Richard to analyse, just let us know at GK Union and hello at goalkeepersunion.net. Some news coming out of the goalkeeping world, however, Richard, this week as well, is that Emilio Alvarez, the goalkeeping coach at Manchester United, has moved on. Now, a lot of people are looking at this as slightly controversial because United brought back in Richard Hartis in June to work alongside Emilio Alvarez, as they said, to work alongside. It's been about 3 months. The relationship quite clearly hasn't worked. He's moved on.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's very rare that you see two goalkeeper coaches working alongside each other, I'd say. So, I mean, look, without knowing the full details as to why he's moved on, it's hard to speculate. What I would say is obviously he has played a major role in David De Gea's development over the last few years. Initially, Eric Steele, of course, and we've had him on our podcast before, and he spoke in detail as to the work he did with David De Gea, and he certainly kicked on again since. So Look, but Richard Hartis, from what I understand, is very, very good. He was at Man United previously, obviously went with Ole Solskjaer to Cardiff, and now he's stayed with him. I guess he's very much part of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's backroom staff, so he's an important member of that. And I've certainly heard loads and loads of good things about him, so I'm sure that David De Gea will continue to be in safe hands.
Safe hands indeed, Richard Lee, although you probably attribute that name to another goalkeeper and not David De Gea, I'd say.
That's true.
By the way, he put out a tweet yesterday. It was quite interesting about the Manchester United-Arsenal game. Not specifically about goalkeepers, but said he couldn't remember a Manchester United-Arsenal clash that was so not impacting a Premier League title like the one tonight, which was, of course, last night. There is some news about David Seaman coming up, which we will release in due podcast. Well, that is it for another week, Richard.
It is indeed. It's been enjoyable as ever.
Hasn't it just? Right, we are back with a new Goalkeepers Union podcast, a new guest, many more new guests to come. And of course, Between the Sticks will return next week. This has been in association with GK Icon, Goalkeepers 365 and Love Sport Radio. We'll see you next time.